After almost 2,000 years, we know what child it was. We know who it was. But can you imagine being there the first Christmas? Can you imagine being the mother of this child? The last passage that was read this morning for us from Luke chapter 2, in verse 19, it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. As the mother who gave birth to this miraculous child, as the mother who heard the shepherds tell of the angel's announcement, as the mother who heard Joseph remind her that they should name the baby Yeshua because he would save his people from their sins, and that this would fulfill what the prophet said, his name will be called Emmanuel because he will be God with us. As the mother who recognized all these things, they must have been swirling around in her mind, and perhaps more than once she said in her own heart, what child is this? As we continue on in Luke 2, I have a sense that the same question was pounding in her breast. In verse 21, we read, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what he said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined for the cause, or pardon me, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a child that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Father, we ask that as we look into this passage of Scripture this morning, briefly, on this Christmas day, that you would cause us to understand, perhaps in a new way, some of what was going on in Mary's heart, and some of what your purpose for this Christ child was. In Jesus' name, amen. Brenda and I had some colleagues who were ministering just down the road from us in Ontario, and they were younger than us. As a matter of fact, I taught him and looked after him in our youth group back in Regina. He became a Christian, went off to Bible school, got married, and then he was a youth pastor in a town down the road. And as with all young couples, when she conceived, they were all delighted about this firstborn baby that they were to have. And as the days and months progressed, the joy increased, and the grandma and grandpa were all excited, anticipating their first grandchild. You know, some of you have been through that. It was a great event. Unfortunately, about 7 months into the pregnancy, they detected some problems. And so they went to the doctor, did some tests, and discovered that this child had some syndrome, I forget the name of it, and there were some major physical malfunctions with the child. And they basically told the mother and father that apart from a miraculous intervention, this baby would live no more than a couple hours and then it would die. So for the next 2 months, as they waited the time of delivery, there was that strange mixture of joy over their first child and over deep anguish, knowing full well that this baby would only live a couple hours. We got the story after it all happened, when both mom and dad, of course, were at the hospital, and grandpa and grandpa were there. Even brothers and sisters had come. And the baby was born, as expected, and they held that little child in their arms and enjoyed every single second. because true to the announcement, a couple hours later it died. That story takes me back to our passage this morning. The mother was Mary. The hospital was the temple in Jerusalem. And the doctor who gave the grim news was the prophet Simeon. And he said to Mary, "Mary, yes, you have a wonderful child here. As a matter of fact, he is God's salvation. He is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. This is who he is. But, Mary, but, here's the tough news." He said, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel." It was this child who years later said, "The first will be last and the last will be first." If you follow his life and ministry, you realize those who seemed to have it all together were the ones who were put aside, and those who seemed to have it not all together were the ones who were honored and lifted up. That made a lot of people mad. He then, Simeon goes on to say, "And this child will be a sign. He will be a sign that will be spoken against." Those of you who have children, how many of you absolutely love it when your child runs in from school and bursts into tears because somebody has been picking on them? Somebody's been calling them names. Somebody's been speaking behind their back or swearing at them or making them feel like a piece of nothing. Do you enjoy that, to hear your child spoken of that way? Simeon said to Mary, "He will be a sign that will be spoken against." Then he says, "So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Later it says that Jesus knew what was in the heart of man. He knew what was going on inside of us. That have these thoughts revealed? Our thoughts of hatred? Our thoughts of jealousy? Our thoughts of unholy anger? Our lustful thoughts that we want to hide? Those thoughts of envy? Those thoughts of ridicule and hatred? All the things, to have those revealed, that's like opening a sewer. Does that sound pleasant? Not exactly. And then he said, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary." In other words, even though this child you are carrying is God in flesh, Mary, it's not going to be easy. Because you see, this baby, unlike all other children, was not born to skip and dance and play and become successful. This baby, Mary, was born to die. Mary pondered all these things in her heart. She probably never knew the full extent of what Simeon meant until she saw her own son, 30-some years later, stretched out, blood all over his body, and breathe his last. Perhaps even then she did not know, as they watched the soldiers take him down from the cross and wrap him up and put him in that stone-cold tomb. Perhaps she still did not know until that morning when she ran back to the tomb 3 days later, saw the stone rolled back, the angel sitting on top and saying, "He is not here, he is risen." Those 30-some years, Mary had a strange mixture of joy and deep pain. The Christmas story, friends, is one of joy to the world. But we can't remove from the story the aspect that this child was born to die. And so we celebrate on Christmas the arrival of God in flesh. But we also take time this morning around the communion table to remember that the reason he came was to die. To die for you and me so that we could live. There's a hymn in your hymn book. It's a beautiful Christmas communion hymn.